Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on R&IB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. with new episodes every other week. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. It's time for the Happy Hour here on R&IB Connect Radio with your hosts Holly Chuk
and Polina Kuchore. Now, we know things might seem difficult at the moment, so we're here for you with a good mix of uplifting music and some suggestions on how to look after our physical and mental well-being. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after Katy Perry and Firework. Like the You're listening to R&IB Connect Radio. It's the Happy Hour with your hosts, Holly and Polina. And as always, we're chatting happy body, happy mind, and happy soul. Plus, some great music mixed in, of course. I'm Polina, producer here on the radio station. And as always, I'm joined today by my favorite and only co-host, blogger Holly Tuke.
Oh, thanks, Polina. Do you mean the only one that agreed to do this show with you?
Maybe. I don't know who told you.
Coming up on the show today, we'll be hearing from blogger Ellen Williams, who shares how writing has helped her on her journey with her sight loss. R&IB Connect Radio's Robert Kirkwood shares some book recommendations on staying happy. Blind chef Kim J chats about keeping her spirits up through lockdown. And Ellen Williams will return at the end of the show to share her motivational song of the week.
Now that's all coming up on today's Happy Hour, but first we'll take you down the memory lane with this 1980s track. Enjoy!
Reading is a great way of relaxing and switching off. Now we're going to hear Robert Kirkwood's recommendations of books that we can read to stay happy.
In this time of uncertainty, I thought I'd take a quick virtual wander through the shelves of the R&IB Talking Books Library to find some books that may help. First up, The Ultimate Happiness Prescription by Deepak Chopra.
The purpose of life is the expansion of happiness. Happiness is the goal of every other goal. Most people are under the impression that happiness comes from becoming successful, accumulating wealth, being healthy and having good relationships. There is certainly enormous social pressure to believe that these accomplishments are the same as achieving happiness. However, this is a mistake.
With words like depression and recession in the air, the author underlines the importance of keeping an eye on the positive aspects of life and finding ways to experience joy no matter what is happening. This book explains how to maintain an optimistic outlook and experience the benefits of having a happy heart and soul, no matter what the circumstances. It's read for you by the brilliant Bob Rollett.
Success, wealth, good health and nurturing relationships are byproducts of happiness, not the cause. When you are happy, you are more likely to make choices that lead to all these things. The reverse isn't true. Everyone has observed people who are deeply unhappy even after they have attained incredible wealth and success. Good health can be taken for granted and abused. And even the happiest family can find its happiness ruined by a sudden crisis. Unhappy people are not successful, and no amount of money and achievement will change the equation. So, let's shift our gaze beyond external indications to inner happiness, which we all want to attain, and yet which remains elusive.
Bob Rollett, reading from The Ultimate Happiness Prescription by Deepak Chopra. It's a short book. It only lasts for 3 hours and 3 minutes. Also in the library is 59 Seconds by Professor Richard Wiseman. Think a little, change a lot.
Discover why even thinking about going to the gym can help keep you in shape. Learn how pot plants can make you more creative. Find out why putting a pencil between your teeth instantly makes you feel happier.
In 59 Seconds, psychologist Professor Richard Wiseman presents a fresh approach to change that helps people achieve their aims and ambitions in minutes, not months. From mood to memory, persuasion to procrastination, and resilience to relationships, Wiseman outlines the research supporting this new science of rapid change and describes how these quick and quirky techniques can be incorporated into everyday life.
People behave in highly predictable ways when they experience certain emotions and thoughts. When they are sad, they cry. When they are happy, they smile. When they agree, they nod their heads. So far, no surprises. But according to an area of research known as proprioceptive psychology, the same process also works in reverse. Get people to behave in a certain way, and you cause them to feel certain emotions and have certain thoughts. The idea was initially controversial, but was fortunately supported by a series of compelling experiments. In one, now classic, study, two groups of people were asked to add up a list of numbers. During the task, one group were asked to furrow their brows, or, as the researchers put it, contract their corrugator muscle, while the others were requested to adopt a slight grin, extend their zygomaticus muscle. This simple act of facial contortion had a surprising effect on participants' ratings of how hard they found the number-adding task, with the frowning participants convinced that they had expended far more effort than the grinning group. In a different study, participants were asked to concentrate on various products moving across a large computer screen, and then indicate whether the items appealed to them. Some of the items moved vertically, causing the participants to nod their heads while watching, while others moved horizontally, resulting in a side-to-side head movement. Participants preferred vertically moving products without being aware that their yes and no head movements had played a key role in their decisions. Exactly the same idea applies to happiness. People smile when they are happy, but also feel happier because they are smiling. The effect even works whether people are aware of the smile or not. In the 1980s, Fritz Strack and his colleagues asked two groups of people to judge how funny they found Gary Larson's Far Side cartoons and rate how happy they felt under one of two rather bizarre circumstances. One group were asked to hold a pencil between their teeth, but to ensure that it did not touch their lips. The other group supported the end of the pencil with their lips, but not their teeth. Without realizing it, those in the teeth-only condition had forced the lower part of their faces into a smile, while those in the lips-only condition had made themselves frown. The results revealed that the participants tended to experience the emotion associated with their expressions. Those who had their faces forced into a smile felt happier and found the Far Side cartoons much funnier than those who were forced to frown. Other work has demonstrated that this increase in happiness does not drain away the moment people cease smiling. It lingers on, affecting many aspects of their behavior, including interacting with others in a more positive way and being more likely to remember happy life events. The message from this type of work is simple. If you want to cheer yourself up, behave like a happy person.
Robin Houston, narrating 59 Seconds. Think a Little, Change a Lot by Professor Richard Wiseman, which lasts for 8 hours and 38 minutes.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. That was Robert Kirkwood with some recommendations of books we can read to stay happy. I'll be adding some of Robert's recommendations to my reading list for sure.
Is your reading list just like mine? Because I feel like we create these lists for shows and films and books and we just keep adding things to them, but we actually can't remember what's even at the beginning of the list anymore.
Oh, literally. It's really long and there's so many books that I could read, but every time I go to get a new audiobook, I can still never decide what to listen to.
I guess that's the problem. Maybe we need to use one of those random recommendation generators or something like that to help us, because we're not really getting anywhere.
I think we should totally do that. That's a good idea.
Well, we'll do that later. Do you have any issues like this? Let us know. We're radio@rnib.org.uk. But in the meantime, let's listen to a great classic from Aretha Franklin. And here's Rocksteady, which honestly doesn't get played on the radio enough. Enjoy!
Rocksteady, baby, that's what I feel.
Ellen Williams is the author of the award-winning blog My Blurred World. She was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa when she was 6 and was registered blind aged 12. Ellen was named as one of the top 100 most influential disabled people in the UK in 2018 and one of the BBC's 100 women last year. She joins me now. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
You've always been a writer of sorts. Your passion for writing led you to creating your blog, My Blurred World. How did you find your love of writing?
Well, I've always loved to write. I used to write short stories when I was in primary school, and I absolutely loved the escapism it offered me. I think writing is kind of woven into the fabric of who I am, and I remember printing one of my first short stories off and taking it into school to show my teachers, and to my surprise one of them really liked it and decided to read it out to her class. And of course I was beside myself and I thought I'd made it, and a very proud moment for my 8 or 9 year old self. But that cemented my love of writing and prompted me to continue and use it as and a creative outlet, and I continued doing that throughout my teenage years. I did a little songwriting when I was a teenager with very peculiar results, but I tried nonetheless. And then that eventually evolved into more personal musings about life as a vision impaired person, and I noted a lot of my thoughts down in a way of decompressing them, and that eventually turned into the creation of my blog when I was 16. So yeah, writing has always been a massive part of my life, and it's something that continues to make me feel comfortable and at ease, and what makes me feel most like myself.
Can you imagine yourself writing for years to come?
Definitely. I think it's secretly always been something that I've wanted to turn into a career of sorts. And I'm studying creative writing at the moment as part of my degree with the Open University. So it's definitely something that I want to continue. And I don't think I see myself stopping anytime soon.
You've been blogging for 6 years now. As well as your posts on vision impairment, you also share information and resources and your personal experiences of music, concerts, beauty and fashion. Is there any particular topic that you enjoy writing about time and time again?
Well, I absolutely love writing about what I write about. And I just love having that mix between writing about my vision impairment and more lighthearted aspects as well. Like you say, I write about fashion and music and the importance of accessibility in things like literature and the fashion world. So I wouldn't say there's one particular thing that I like to write about more than anything else, but I love combining my personal experiences with other passions of mine as well.
You're really open and honest on your blog, sharing many thoughts, feelings and emotions, we all experience in regards to our vision impairment. Has penning these thoughts and feelings down helped you on your own journey with your sight loss?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely helped me to decode some of the things that I feel and the things that swirl around in my brain. Before I started writing, I wasn't very comfortable or confident in talking about my vision impairment, and I was quite unsure about a lot of aspects of it. So writing has definitely helped me to kind of make sense of it all and help me to become more confident in knowing what I'm most comfortable in sharing, not only on my blog, but my life offline as well. So it's definitely been a huge help in terms of that.
Would you say that without that, you maybe wouldn't have been more confident or comfortable with your vision impairment if you hadn't have found the escapism in writing?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what life would look like if this wasn't my reality now, but I can definitely say that writing has been a huge comfort and such a good escapism for me in terms of being able to write my feelings down in such an honest and candid way. It also helps to be able to hear back from other people who are in a similar situation and to be able to build those connections with people I didn't necessarily know of before, because I didn't know anyone else who was vision impaired before I started writing my blog. So it's definitely helped me in so many different ways.
Sharing your experiences online and offline can be really scary, but you're opening your platform up for people to read and everything's public. Are you glad that it's your reality and you're finding the ways to do what you're doing and using your experiences of your vision impairment in such a positive way?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it can be scary sometimes to put so many aspects of my life out there for people to read about, but hopefully it's helpful to other people, and it's always nice to hear back and hear feedback from people saying that they can relate in some way or that my posts help them. So that definitely helps me on my journey to continue writing as well, and it gives me that motivation to continue. And yeah, I guess it's just that catalyst for more openness, and I essentially hope that my blog becomes the platform that I could have benefited from reading when I was growing up, because there weren't many stories out there about being vision impaired and growing up as a young vision impaired person. So I hope that my blog can act as that kind of platform for another young vision impaired person who might be going through those experiences now.
What's your favourite thing about sharing your life online as a young person with a vision impairment?
I think my favourite thing is just being a part of the community, to be honest. Like I say, I didn't know anyone else who was vision impaired or disabled before I started writing my blog, so it opened my eyes to a world that I never knew existed before. And I just love the fact that once I put a blog post out there, people can come across it and they can leave comments, and it makes me feel that I'm not alone. And I think we all need that sometimes. We need that reassurance. So it's absolutely lovely to be a part of that community and being able to build friendships from blogging and things like that as well. So there's so many different positive aspects to it, and I think we'd be here all day if I was to list them all.
Yeah, definitely. What advice would you have for any blind or visually impaired people wanting to use writing or another creative outlet to express their feelings and emotions surrounding their sight loss?
Well, I think if there is a creative outlet that you're interested in, or a format that, you know, you want to express yourself through, all I can say is go for it. There's so many creative outlets out there, whether it's writing or music, reading, all sorts of things. So Yeah, I think it's important to find what makes you feel comfortable and confident. And I think there's always an accessible way of going about these things as well. There's always an alternative. And I think it's just important to realise that there are things out there that can make you feel more like yourself. And for me, that's writing. And well, it's always been music as well. So there's more than one way you can express yourself as well. So I think it's just important to find that outlet and embrace it the best you can.
If people would like to read your blog or follow you on social media, where can they find you?
So you can find me on my blog at myblurredworld.com, and I'm also on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at myblurredworld.
Ellen, it's been lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining me on the Happy Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely. I have been crazy, but that's just all right. I have been lonely, but that's just
That was John Newman and Come and Get It. Now, earlier, Holly, you spoke with blogger Ellen Williams, and I know for you and Ellen, as bloggers, writing is such a big part, I guess, in a way of coming to terms with your visual impairment. But I feel like right now, especially in lockdown and everything that's going on, and for the past year, we really realized how much creative arts have become important to our well-being. Because imagine trying to survive all of this without having audiobooks or without being able to watch a film or a TV show. And I think it's amazing. But do you ever struggle with the fact that maybe not everything is accessible to you?
Yeah, all the time. So I might want to watch a film or a TV series that my friends or family might have recommended to me, but it's often not accessible because it doesn't have audio description. So then I'm kind of a bit stuck whether I watch it and see if I can get the gist of it or just miss out. So yeah, it's really annoying when things aren't accessible.
Do you think things have improved a little bit though in lockdown? Because a thing we've never used to see was audio described arts and theatre streamed online and added with audio description. Obviously not all of it is available with audio description, but they seem to be making an effort.
I think there's been a focus on accessibility much more now than what there was, say, beforehand. And I think as well there's an added feature of accessibility in that we can access them from home. So we've got the features of audio description, but we can also watch them from the comfort of our own home, which makes them even more accessible. And I hope that these accessibility features continue after the pandemic as well. And speaking of comforts at home, next up we'll be speaking to blind chef Kim Jay. That's coming up after Kids in America by Kim Wilde.
Kim Jay is a blind chef, author of A Taste of Spice, and creator of the Kim Jay Cooks Facebook page, on which she shares recipes, video tutorials, and upcoming cookery classes, all to promote cooking for the visually impaired community. And today, Kim joins me just in time for spring to chat a little bit about cooking and baking and maybe share a really nice recipe. So it's really lovely to have you on the Happy Hour, Kim.
No, it's lovely to be here.
So I know it's been a difficult time for everyone. The last year has been very crazy, nothing we could have expected. But it seems like for you, you found ways of getting through it.
Yes, being sort of in isolation and being away from people is really difficult, especially mentally. And especially when you're visually impaired, that personal contact is really important. The face-to-face meetings are really important. And my way of getting through it is by cooking. I love cooking. I have a passion for it. And, you know, a lot of people sort of think, well, you're visually impaired, it's dangerous, you can't do it. How can you tell when something's cooked? And I always say it's really easy, because when you're sighted, you only use two of your senses, your sense of taste and your sight. But when you're visually impaired, you use the very little sight that you've got, if you've got any. You use your taste, you use your hearing, you use your sense of smell. And we make a much better food and a better recipe. And the thing with cooking is, and I love this, I could just go into my kitchen, pick up a whole lot of random ingredients, put it together, and at the end, I can produce this amazing dish, and it is so satisfying.
So I take it you've been, I guess, cooking up a storm in lockdown?
I have. I've started producing these cookery videos around accessible cooking and sort of teaching others how to do it. And I think it's very important that we all have an outlet for our creativity and just to get us through these times. And I've been baking and I've been experimenting, and I have this lovely recipe that is so easy and so healthy. And it's basic ingredients. All you need is a small carton of Greek yogurt, about two centimetres of ginger, which you've chopped very finely, 3 cloves of garlic, chopped very finely, 1 green chilli, if you like it hot, put another 2 in, about 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of chilli powder. If you don't want chilli, substitute it for smoked paprika, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, a bunch of coriander, finely chopped, mix it all into the Greek yogurt. You get 2 chicken breasts and chop it into cubes, or you could use things like chicken thighs on the bone, but skinned, and put it into that Greek mixture and leave it to marinate for at least 24 hours. Preferably 48 hours, and the Greek yogurt and all those spices just infuse into the chicken. And once it's done, you put it into a baking tray, into the oven at 180 degrees for 30 minutes, or if you've got sight, until it's a lovely golden colour. And it is perfect. It is comfort food. And you'll notice no oil, no fat, very healthy.
So what would be the best pairing for a chicken like that? Because it does actually sound so good.
Well, I would have it with pita bread. You could have it with wraps because there's a bit of sauce there. You could have it with boiled rice. It's whatever you want to do with it. I actually sometimes I take it out of the sauce and slice it up and put it into a pita with some salad, and it is utterly delicious. I can tell you the smell of this dish cooking, just it's enough to drive you crazy. Now, I'm vegetarian and I have children that are vegetarian, vegan and meat eaters, so I cook all three, but even I, when this chicken is cooking, it makes me want to eat it.
And can you make it with vegetarian alternatives, or does it have to be chicken?
No, yes, you can. You can use paneer, which is an Indian cheese. It is available in all supermarkets in the chilled section, or for the vegans, I use corn fillets. They have vegan corn fillets, and again, perfect in that, which is what I use when I make it. And you could also sort of use tofu, which again is vegan. So I always say that a recipe, it's a template. If you don't like an ingredient, if one ingredient doesn't suit it, or you want to put something else in, do it. It's your recipe. Make that dish yours. It's supposed to be for your taste, not for the person that's wrote the recipe.
That's a very wise advice. And if, let's say, I'm listening to your recipe and I missed an ingredient, can I find it online, or can I just maybe contact you on your Facebook page if I have any questions?
You can always contact me on my Facebook page, which is Kim J. Cooks. I have a website and I also have YouTube as well. So there's a whole series of videos, not just Indian cookery, but Western as well, baking, a mixture of vegan, vegetarian, meat dishes, and easily accessible.
Thank you so much for your time today, Kim Jae. Hopefully we'll have you on again, and healthy cooking for everyone.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. And we're coming to the end of the show, but as always, we have one more thing for you. It's our motivational song of the week. A track that means a lot to us, maybe it makes us happy, or we love the meaning behind it.
Or it's connected to an important time in our lives, that doesn't matter.
This week's motivational song is chosen by our guest, Ellen Williams, who doesn't just have a love of writing, she also has a passion for music.
So that's next, but if you'd like to let us know what song means a lot to you and be featured on the next episode of The Happy Hour, just send us your favourite motivational song.
We'd love to hear from you. Just email radio@rnib.org.uk. You can also message us on Twitter at RNIB Radio or find us on Facebook where RNIB Connect Radio. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. We'll let Ellen play you out with the final track of The Happy Hour. See you next time.
My motivational song of the week is Rise Up by Andra Day. I think this is a lovely song that reminds us that despite whatever we're going through, we can always rise up and never give up.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, we gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full along with all the interviews, tips and our chat, just catch the full show plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. and we have new episodes every other week. But for now, I hope you enjoyed the Happy Hour podcast and we'll see you on the next episode.